The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene. I already made one mistake. I didn't want to cut into your time, so at least we're getting that right.
Well, you know what? You're always forgiven. There are no mistakes you could possibly make in my eyes. I missed you guys yesterday.
Yeah, we missed you too. It was nice to speak to Hugh. You know, a change can be as good as a holiday. But we prefer the original. What can I say? No offense to you.
Original red. What can I say?
Yeah. Accept no imitations, as they say.
Absolutely.
So, Rolene. First item for discussion, more escalation in the South. This is getting bigger and not smaller, unfortunately.
This is getting bigger, and we have spoken about it over the last couple of days. We have said that the violence in the South does seem to be escalating, and I think it was on Tuesday we discussed ultimatums made by Hamas, who said that unless they receive the funds promised to them by Qatar, unless Israel allows that funding in, and unless Israel increases the supply of electricity to the Gaza Strip, they will explode, in their words, violence onto Israel. And last night they gave a little bit of a taster of what they have in mind by firing rockets from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel, sending hundreds of thousands of Israeli civilians to their shelters. Now, the Israeli Air Force reciprocated struck back by striking naval targets just off the Gaza Strip. And it might surprise some to understand that, when some people talk about Hamas, they say, you know, it's just the resistance, or they're using weapons that aren't very sophisticated. This is a very sophisticated, organized entity. To have a presence out to sea just goes to show you how well-funded they are and exactly what kind of arsenal we are talking about. And today, Israel has blamed Islamic Jihad for the violence and have said to Hamas that they need to clamp down. This is very, very interesting kind of rhetoric, because Hamas is responsible for what happens in the Gaza Strip, and they are held responsible for any actions by renegade groups in the Gaza Strip. So for the IDF or for Israel to blame Palestinian Islamic Jihad instead of blame the whole controlling entity is a very interesting turn of phrase, and it comes as we've just heard from a former Sgan Ramatkal Yair Golan, who said that in his opinion Israel should work with Hamas. So there's a lot of small little nuances, but that are very, very significant, and addressing the entities in the Gaza Strip. The IDF's Arabic language spokesperson Avichai Adrai said on Twitter, he says, "We do not plan to accept terror attacks and rocket fire against our citizens."
Well, let's hope that there's a de-escalation in the days and weeks to come rather than further escalation, Rolene. But talking about escalation, it seems that, unfortunately, you know, we can hope for the best, but it seems that, stories and people and events were more likely to lead to more outrage, which leads us to the next story, the one on Trump's loyalty comment. Now, President Rivlin has waded into the controversy with his own comments on the matter.
Well, I tell you, it has been a worrying, I'd say, week or so here in Israel. You know, it started last week with the whole controversy against Talib and Omar, and kind of culminated in the comments made by President Trump, which have elicited a very, very strong response by the Jewish community and Jewish communal leaders in the United States, the Anti-Defamation League weighing in, the AJC, the American Joint Council weighing in, saying, you know, we cannot have the Jewish community of the United States being used as a political football. And there's a lot of opinion editorials coming out at the moment, both in the United States and here in Israel, because of the nature of the relationship between Israel and the USA. It's a historical relationship. It is a relationship based on shared democratic values. It is a relationship built on Judeo-Christian values. I know some people might not like that definition, but it is the definition that both the U.S. and Israel speak about. We are very, very concerned that the American Jewish community is being drawn into bipartisan issues in the United States, especially as the U.S. approach to an election next year in 2010. There are some saying that, you know, perhaps President Trump's comments about Jews who support or who are voting for the Democratic Party are perhaps disloyal or unknowledgeable, were taken out of context. For many, the question of loyalty and where that loyalty lies brings up a very, very uncomfortable anti-Semitic trope. We've seen it in several countries around the world, and it's often used as an excuse. La Brio to ever sneezed.
Oh,
and
that was me coughing, but appreciate it.
It's often used as an excuse by those who wish to attack the Jewish community that perhaps their loyalties lie somewhere else. We've seen it in South Africa. We've certainly seen it around the world. And as anti-Semitism rises around the world, including the United States, at alarming levels, this kind of rhetoric is quite alarming. However, in whatever context it was meant to be in, and President Trump kind of backtracked it, saying he meant that anybody who's voting for the Democratic Party showing a disloyalty to Israel. And that also kind of prompted our president, Reuven Rivlin, to be involved. And last night he spoke to the leader of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi. She's the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. And he said, he said that the relationship between the State of Israel and the United States is a link between people which relies on historical ties. He also quoted the late President John F. Kennedy, where he said that friendship with Israel is not a partisan matter. It is a national commitment. It's a really, really beautiful quote. And he went on to say that, you know, the relationship between Israel and America is not an issue of partisanship. It transcends politics. But he did very not so subtly say that the State of Israel must be kept above political dispute, and every effort must be made to ensure that the support for Israel does not become a political issue. And looking at the various op-eds coming across, the timing of all this is quite extraordinary, because I cannot help but think, imagine that this all took place before the Democratic delegation visited Israel just a couple of weeks ago. And he also went on to say that the friendship, not just between the two countries, but the friendship between President Rivlin and Speaker Nancy Pelosi is also very, very important to him. And he would be very, very happy to meet her at any time and discuss these issues. And, you know, if we take a step back and look at what has happened over the last 2 weeks, it's certainly there are a lot of alarming trends, and one of the most alarming is that perhaps these two congresswomen who were really, really at the fringe and marginalized have now been given kind of front billing, and their issues are very, and their agenda is very, very much on the forefront. And we have to watch this very, very carefully as we proceed. And also a lot of criticism coming in for Speaker Nancy Pelosi for not, and the Democratic Party, for not condemning the comments made by these two congresswomen. However, a wholesale condemnation of President Trump. And there are some who are seeing this as a very blatant double standard. But Israel, as we approach our elections next month, we are certainly concerned with the ramifications of this and what this means for bilateral relations, not just with the United States, but relations between Israel and American Jewry.
Well, thank you for setting me straight, Rolene. It seems like President Rivlin is trying to do a couple of things, but first and foremost, pouring some oil on troubled waters. And he's a canny politician. This is a, support for Israel is a bipartisan issue. And if it degenerates, the loyalty debate degenerates into a fight between Republicans and Democrats, it's not necessarily that good for Israel, especially because... Especially because the majority of American Jews still vote Democrat. And, you know, anyway, that's, we've got time very quickly to follow up on the story that Hugh introduced yesterday about Israel welcoming Amazon to the country. What's going on there?
Well, can we just say, Bruchim haba'im le'Yisrael, Amazon? I know that there are hundreds of thousands of Israelis who are gleefully taking out their credit cards and looking forward to doing some online shopping. Not that it would be different to any other day when they do online shopping, but Amazon has officially launched in Israel, which is quite fantastic for the country because apart from having a giant like Amazon now be present in the country, it's going to do great things for introducing the incredible wares from Israel to the international market and vice versa. And Paul, if you don't want to shop in English, you can do so in Hebrew as well. So it's officially launched, and should we take a bet on how soon we manage to crash the site with our shopping here?
Yeah, well, I can't really join too much. All I know about bartering in Hebrew, Rolene, is kama ze ole and lolo ze kol kach kavoa, but that only gets you so far in the negotiation process.
Well, I'm going to teach you a new word. It's a discount. The word for discount is hanacha, and that's one to drop in when you engage in your negotiations.
I'll definitely keep that in mind. Thank you so much. Educating us as always, Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. You have a great weekend and Shabbos, and we'll talk to you again Monday.
Shabbat shalom, guys.